evening. This is Elaine Ireland. You're going to be listening to Going Global for Spirit with me, Elaine Ireland, on bbsradio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. That's a bold statement, and we can back it up. In a few moments, I'll give you phone numbers to call, both in the U.S. and Canada, so go grab a pen and a piece of paper. I invite you to call in anytime and as often as you would like. We have a whole hour that is uninterrupted by commercial. It's just me. I do not have a guest tonight. However, we are going to talk about faith and money. Okay. My website is ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. It's still, still under repair, but it's getting there. ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. Going Global for Spirit. Tonight we're going to talk about faith and money. And I had a reading this week that was very disturbing to me and got me to thinking about what people say about money, how we need money, our attitudes about money, and especially when we bring other people into, say, business deals and such that don't keep their word about money. Or even if somebody promises you a new bicycle and you don't get it because all of a sudden there's no money, we face disappointment. So faith and money, I think, are two powerful words within themselves. Faith, we're encouraged to have faith regardless of what your belief system is. And money, of course, is something that is necessary to 99% of us. There are those folks that prefer to live off of the land and do mostly trading, and I admire those that can do that. There are places like monasteries and places where monks live and organizations, but even in today's world, they need some semblance of trade. I'm talking about cold, hard cash. That all of us have a need for at least once in our lives, even if you do become a monk later in life, and the faith that we have in how we handle money, how we look at it, how we handle disappointment. Okay, are you ready for those phone numbers? USA, 1-877-270-8714. Let me give that to you again, 877-270-8714. In Canada, you have your own number. Still waiting for that first Canadian call, by the way. 1-888-288-4494. Now, of course, since I do tarot, I had to pull on the tarot cards to talk about tonight. Got to have that lesson of tarot. You know that. Can't let you go without that. And we will. We'll talk about that. But I remembered... back in 2000 or so, I had picked up a book, or actually a book was given to me, The Language of Letting Go by Melody Beattie, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Beattie. She's also the author of Codependent No More and Beyond Codependency. The Language of Letting Go, like most of her books, are written kind of a daily thought kind of thing. And I remembered at the time, because I was so broke and had come out of a horrible relationship and just had to have a lot of faith in every day. And yet at the same time, I was still struggling to figure out, you know, I'm in my 60s. I was in my 50s then, trying to figure out who I was becoming again for second or third time in my life and as an adult. And when I ran across this, it happens to be October the 4th, which this is October the 3rd. I thought that was interesting. And that was about the time that I read this the first time. It's not long, so I'm going to read it to you. Sometimes there's not enough money to make ends meet, much less afford any luxuries. People may tell us to do a budget, and we chuckle. Okay. Many of us have had to live through these situations. This is not the time to panic. It's not the time to despair. Panic and depression and desperation will lead to bad judgment and desperate moves. This is the time to substitute faith for fear. This is the time to trust God to meet our needs. Now, don't be offended out there. If you're not Christian, you just plug in Buddha or whatever. To me, it's all one source with many, many names. Take life one day at a time and one need at a time. Use your survival skills positively. Know your possibilities are not limited by the past or by your present circumstances. That sentence alone, and I know you think I'm crazy for saying this. I was in my 50s. I should know better that most things, the one constant is that things are changing. And I read that paragraph or that sentence and went, wow, it is only temporary. This is not something that I'm going to have to live through forever and ever and ever. I love that word through. We are going through this circumstance. Now, if you let depression get a hold of you, if you lose faith in yourself, there's that word faith. If you lose faith in the ability, if you don't get rid of a little ego and maybe work at the Dairy Queen for 6 months, that's an exaggeration. I know you CEOs out there are not thinking about Dairy Queen, but it's a matter of getting through it. Examine any blocks that might be stopping the flow of money in your life. Do you have an attitude, an issue, a lesson that might be yours to learn or change? Maybe the reason, the lesson rather, is a simple one of faith. In biblical times, it is said that Jesus walked on the water. It is said his followers could too, but the moment they let fear take over, they sank. And boy, we could expand on that one. How many times have we sunk because we didn't have faith in ourselves, because we had fear about sending that resume, oh, those people would never want us. I can't do that, that sort of thing. During financial hard times, we can learn to walk on water with money issues, and I had to laugh at that one because at the time, not having any and carrying two full-time jobs and going to real estate school, I'm going. You know, it's going in the left hand and in the right hand and going out the left before I ever get it. If we make out a budget and there's not enough money to survive and pay legitimate expenses, do your best and get on, then let go. Part of it is letting go part of letting go is not letting ego or fear control what you can do or belittling yourself because you can't do any more. That's another thing that plugs into depression. If an emergency arises and there is no cash to meet the need, then look beyond your wallet. Look to your source. Claim a divine supply, an unlimited supply for all that you need. Claim a divine supply, an unlimited supply for all that you need. Now, we've got to do our part. We strive for an attitude of financial responsibility in thought and action. Strive for an attitude of financial responsibility in thought and action. Now, this book and these paragraphs were written by a woman who'd been there. She knows what she's talking about. But our need for money and our faith in where it comes from and how we use it expands to other things like business deals or promises that are kept or promises that are not being kept. And you say, well, how do I control that other person? How do I get them to get off of dead center in order to do what I need for them to do? And yes, there are those people out there that are working wonderful deals and expecting fabulous amounts of money to do good with it, not to go buy a new Lamborghini, but to do worldly good. And if you have that in your heart, it may take a little while, but if the controlling party doesn't get off dead center and your heart still rings true, the universe will somehow put somebody else in control of that final little signature. Okay, so we have to strive for an attitude of financial responsibility in thought and action. And part of that is having faith that we will go forward. Ask for divine wisdom. Listen to God's leadings. Then let go of your fears and your need to control. You know, I have a fight with that last sentence. Let go of your fears and your need to control. I agree with letting go of the fears, but having need to control, sometimes we need to make those phone calls. Sometimes we need to remind gently other people that they are in the way of us doing good. Sometimes as simple as paying the phone bill. But for the broader scope, if you're having trouble paying the phone bill, who is it that you're trying to help when you get the bill paid? You know, there is nothing that's too small. There is nothing that's too big that, in our society, faith in and proper use of cash can't somehow help thousands of people. So it's necessary for everybody to take on their responsibility and get things done. We know that money is a necessary part of being alive and living. So does our higher power. Now, a while ago I said there are those folks that use trade, and some that live off of the land, genuinely live off of the land and do beautifully with it. And hopefully the land isn't a taxable land and it's not taken away from them. Or they're not squatting and they get chased off. But you get my point. We need to work with getting rid of blocks and barriers. Okay, so that's what she had to say, which I thought was really interesting. I've had several contacts with people this week that are going through financial issues, some of my clients. Everything from a really nasty divorce to an international group that's trying to put together some fabulous funds for all the right reasons, and they're being stymied. But it's temporary. I'm actually not worried about anybody that I read for this week that I had in connection with. It just seems like that was the theme this week for some reason. My dear friend Manny, A Book of Answers, The Ultimate Oracle Is You. Oh, that's a mighty statement. His thing about faith, and I wanted to read about faith, drawing the word faith invites you to experience the strength and joy of trusting spirit without exception and in any circumstance without hesitation or reservation. Trust. Spirit is always with you and is present to help in every way you will allow. Powerful statement. Every way you will allow. The name of Melody's book is The Language of Letting Go. And sometimes we have to let go and know in the pit of our stomach and in our heart that whatever is going on in our life at this moment is a necessary lesson for us to learn. We don't always recognize it because we'll say, been here, done that, why are we doing it again? Or we don't even recognize that there's a need. Been here, done that, here we are again. That's rarely an identical situation. Quite often there's an element of something different. You know, if you couldn't pay the rent last month and now you're in a $1 million deal, circumstances are similar, but they're certainly not the same. We're learning how to relate in a different way on a broader scale. We're learning how to use those funds in a different way in a broader scale. Okay, let's see. The concept and energy of faith, in general, relationship is normally not so intense nor focused as it can be in a personal relationship. But if you stop and think, you have personal relationships with money. You have personal relationships with anybody who you work with or for that in turn gives you money for your energy. So it is a concept and an energy of faith that we operate from. Faith or belief in a business partner or another participant in a daily transaction can quite likely be explored when this energy enters the picture. Now, we're not talking about just somebody making change at ATB. Although that's a valid exchange, we hope that they will give us correct change. We hope we don't drop it as we leave the store. Personal faith is a critical part of the character of any seeker of growth and spirit. Faith in oneself is an outgrowth of self-worth and spiritual awareness. Wow. Personal faith is a critical part of the character of any seeker of growth and spirit. Faith in oneself is an outgrowth of self-worth and spiritual awareness. Both aspects will be brought forth for work and examination when this word is selected, faith. Okay, we've all heard the term blind faith. Faith is a very good thing to love. However, unreasoned and non-critical faith may be extremely dangerous in practice. exercising discretion can help to strengthen your faith. Now, if I were to get the illusion card surrounding a question about money, I would encourage that person to be sure that they are, number one, not being lied to, number two, not lying to themselves. So we have to be real in today's world about how we handle money and how we handle the faith in money. Comments from Spirit. Faith is the flowing of the river of life. It is the current that animates the being and the blood in the veins. Without faith, there is nothing, and nothing is all there is. Be aware of the faith that guides you into the heart of the Creator and of this thing called existence. Now, that's a very dramatic statement by Manny, actually by Spirit through Manny, and I appreciate what he's saying. So we've talked a little bit about faith and a little bit about money and why I wanted to look at those two things tonight and share the experiences that I've had through my clients this week and encourage you guys out there, if you're having financial problems, and so many people are, or if you're just trying to get a wonderful thing going that you can share with the world, then have faith in what you're doing. First, faith in yourself and your intent. And I'm not going to lie to you and say everything you want you're going to get. The universe will give you what you need, and if you have a good intent in your heart and the universe believes it and it is your deed to do, then the funds will be there. If you don't have the funds, energy will be there. Connections will be there. Somehow it will get done. The phone number is USA, for USA to call in, 1-877-270-8714. Canada, 888-288-4494. 1-888-288-4494. I love saying that word. This is Elaine Ireland with Going Global for Spirit on bbsradio.com. I would love to have you call in. Still waiting for that Canadian first call. We do not have a guest this evening. I'm it again. We haven't heard from Elka. Bless her heart. She had a death in her family a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't heard from her. I've left a message or two, and she's not responded, so I suppose she is still very, very caught up. We're going to be having a psychic fair here in Austin in November, the 17th and 18th at the Radisson Hotel, 6000 Middle Fiskville Road. It's a nice hotel. If you're in the area, we would love to have you come. I think it's $5 or $6 to get in. If you come in Saturday and you get stamped and sign out, you get in free on Sunday. The readings, of course, are various prices, and we do have lectures that are free on the hour or half hour. And vendors, a lot of vendors that are fun. That will be the last fair in this area in Austin for the year, so there'll be a lot of vendor goodies as far as Christmas presents are concerned. The next one will be in January, and that's when the readers are really, really busy. Either way, come in early. Take in some workshops or lectures and just have a good time. Stay all day. That restaurant happens to have a really good restaurant. So spend the day and have a great outing. Okay, faith and money we're talking about today. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. I have a website to check out, still being put back together again, but you can still get good information off of it, ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. When we look at the Tarot cards, this is going to be our lesson for the evening, and we think about faith and money. The first card that came up for me was the Strength card, at least in thought. It's the 8 in the Major Arcana. Its general meaning is intelligence of all spiritual activities. However, it talks about faith. It shows a maiden, what is supposed to be a maiden, with the infinity sign over her head. Lots and lots of yellow. The whole background is yellow. And she has her hands on a lion's mouth. The kicker here is that we don't know whether she's opening or closing that mouth. The point is that she has the strength and the gentleness to do both. She knows how to not fight. She's letting a natural flow go and letting things happen for the best. Excuse me. The card shows a willingness to deal with any situation, no matter where it falls in the layout. She will forever try to bring peace to any trial. It's the number 8. So we look at her card. The number 8, of course, is the infinity number, and she's got the infinity sign over her head. It also deals with a little bit of faith or fear, you know, opening or closing that mouth. She's looking for balance. She's putting a lot of determination to work as she handles her challenges, and, of course, we're talking about money and faith tonight. But reverse, she has a lack of physical or spiritual strength, faith, or determination. And it can also can speak of mental or physical illness for the quarant or someone close to them. Typically, this card does not address emotional issues, but of course, I think emotions get into every, or lack of them, get into to every situation we have, money, career, mental energy, everything. I think emotions are there on some level. Okay, that's the strength card. The other one is the Wheel of Fortune. And, of course, the Wheel of Fortune is your luck card. It's, of course, I have this thing about the word luck. I think luck is being prepared at the right time at the right place. But the luck card has four corners, all their three beast-looking characters and an angel. Learning. It's all about communication. This card is about being able to look at luck, fate, chance, and what part of that is destiny. The wheel spins with positive and negative energies. We don't know where it's going to stop, so you have to help yourself to be prepared, no matter where it stops, by learning all you can about yourself and life around you, which is your circumstances. And those are especially financial circumstances. And because this card spins with all energies, I look at this card as being a card of hope and opportunities that we may get only once in a lifetime. So we have to be ready. If the card shows up in reverse, that person, the quarant, is not paying attention to the need for more knowledge or preparation. They may be rejecting positive opportunities or offers of schooling without realizing the value of that knowledge. There's an unexpected bad luck, there we go again, or interference from outside sources. So you have to pay attention. And with this card in reverse, we need to pay attention to health issues too. And those health issues may be things like red blood cells, circulation, liver, pancreas, fatty tissues, hips, thighs, right ear, or upper forehead. I didn't tell you that about the strength card, did I? The health issues that could come up or be represented: digestion, small intestines, heart, backbone, spine, the spinal column, and the spine. So that's strength. Now, of course, we're talking about money tonight, and money is represented in the tarot cards by the pentacles. Not pentagram, pentacle. And in the Rider-Waite deck, they're yellow, a bright yellow, with the exception of the Three of Pentacles. And it's gray, representing wisdom and knowledge. And the Three of Pentacles, the number three itself is fruition, two things coming together to make a third. And all of the others are yellow. Some decks, they're brown, representing the business side of money. Brown is considered to be a business color, and very male, very high-level male energy. And some are orange, which represent active energy. Of course, orange has yellow in it, so there's also intellectual energy. The Ace of Pentacles is a new offering. There are four aces in the deck. All of them are a hand which holds the symbol of the suit in the hand. Looks like they're coming out of a cloud. And this one has a lot of gray in the background. Some has solid blue, and it shows new growth and an arbor scene on the land and peace tulips, and you're being offered money. Sometimes it's an opportunity to make money. The nice thing about the aces is that you don't have to take them. you can reject the idea, or you can reject perhaps how the money would be made, how they would want you to what they would want you to perform for the money. So we're looking at this opportunity. Let's call it an opportunity. It could be a raise, it could be an inheritance, it could be winnings. It could surround a job offer. You would need to look at to see if there are other wands. Wands are look like a staff with new growth coming out of it. And wands represent career, or how the money comes in the household. Job, you could be a trust fund baby, doesn't matter. So you look around it and see if it's a job and money, or if it's a change of some sort, or if they're just going to inherit some money, and know the death card won't always come up for that purpose, or winnings of some sort. You usually get a pretty good idea. Just because the offer is made, of course, you don't have to accept it. You may decide that that's not what you want to do. Sometimes just getting the offer brings lessons that are needed to release karmic debt from the person that's making the offer for you. So it's usually a good thing. And sometimes it's just good to know that somebody thinks that we're worthy of that new challenge. That's always exciting. And it's a great opportunity at that time to reevaluate who we are and maybe look at what we want. Makes us think about, okay, if they think I can do that job, maybe I can, but not for this company. Or maybe I can do it on my own. So it's reevaluation time. And when the card's in reverse, it usually means it's not happening. You're not going to get an offer. You're not going to get the raise. Or maybe it's delayed, or it's of a lesser value of some sort. So things to think about when you get aces. They kind of like open a door. They unlock an opportunity. The Two of Pentacles, we're just going to go through these quickly. The Two of Pentacles is a juggler card. We're juggling some money in a certain situation. But at least you've got the money to juggle. It can be a joyous occasion, and it can be one meant to be celebrated. Of course, if it's in reverse, the person is usually behaving in a very stubborn manner and is refusing to take a positive solution to a financial problem. Sometimes they're rejecting money and being very stubborn about they're going to do it all on their own. Sometimes there's instability there and some depression. The Three of Pentacles was the one that I was talking about a while ago. That comes up a lot for people who are starting their own business or already own a business and they're successful with it. And it shows it's a very gray, almost looks like the inside of a church. And the Three Pentacles are up near the roof. And it shows your consciousness standing on a bench being told by your super sub and your subconscious how to use everything that you are to be successful. And when it's in reverse, they're difficult times or very difficult to make a new venture happen. The Four of Pentacles, I call him one of the wealth cards. The number four itself is your foundation number, the four corners, building on the four corners. It shows a well-dressed gentleman sitting on a stoop with a city behind him. He's holding money. He's got money on his crown chakra, and he's got his feet on money. So he's stable. And this is good. Now, for me, when this card shows up in reverse, it sometimes shows up as potential. Sometimes, though, in reverse, it's not the money we'd hope for, but there's enough to create more if handled properly. It can also mean a reversal of fortune. In the past, the present, maybe they're still learning from those experiences. But in reverse, there's been a waste of money. And maybe the person's trying to hide it. Five of Pentacles. This shows what looks like a man and a woman, very tattered and torn. They even look barefooted. He's on crutches, passing under what looks like a church scene. It has the five pentacles in what looks like a stained glass window. And this is very much a sign of desperation. I've had this card come up for people going through bankruptcy and that sort of thing, especially when it's with the government card, the Hierophant. The card basically is saying if you're willing to look inward and upward, all could be better, and things are not as bad as they seem. Tell that to somebody who's about to lose their home, but still, it's true. It can be a time to put pride and ego and lack of self-confidence aside, accept offers being made to help. This sometimes shows up for a very prideful person who doesn't want to accept help but is in desperate straits. This card also is representative of somebody who needs to do some soul searching. How did they get into this situation? What signs did they not see? And I know folks out there who are having a hard time. There are times when we have no control. The plant shuts down. The car dies. I mean, there are times when we feel, and truthfully, we do not have control over the circumstances. The only control would have been to go ahead and find another job before the plant closed down, but we don't see it coming, so we don't know. Anyway, we need to do some soul searching to figure out how we can get past that and see the signs. Reversed, it's an inclination to run away from the hard times, kind of shut our eyes and just keep going. But in reverse, there is the hope of a new job, even if it's temporary. Charitable help is also there if one is not so too prideful to accept it. One of my favorite meanings for this card is that this person is looking deeply into the spiritual side of life. And when this card is in reverse, I know that sounds very contradictory, but it really means that they're looking inside. And frankly, not looking at the finances so much, as even though there's a lot of fear in their life with the Five of Pentacles, a lot of fear. And they're wanting very much for things to be different. They want more control, but they don't know how to get it. And when it's in reverse, now they seem to be willing to look at their life in a different light and say, okay, how do I change this? This card is exemplary of the faith about the gathering of money and what we can, how we can use it in a more positive way when it begins to flow again. And we have to know that money will flow again. And you say, okay, what about those homeless people out there? Why can't they get a job? Their circumstances are such that they're learning lessons. They're learning lessons. And unfortunately, some of them have mental and emotional problems that prevent them from working. Not all of them, but some of them. Some genuinely want to be off the streets, and they will do everything they can to make that happen. As a teacher, I've had children in my classroom who literally came from the streets every day. But their parents made sure that they were in a classroom. They might have lived in Salvation Army sooner or later, in a park, under a bridge, but they came to school. And their parents, whether they were gathering money in their hands or doing odd jobs. So there are those folks that, for whatever reason, they've got to go through that lesson. So it's where you as an individual put your trust in faith, and then in turn, how the money comes back in. Okay, the Six of Pentacles. This is called a fairness card because it shows a gentleman well-dressed with a scale in his hand, and he's doling out money to people who are down on their knees with their hands open, receiving the money. So this person is sharing what they can with good judgment and balance. They'll try to give everybody of need the same amount of money and time to help them. It could be time, energy, but fairness is there. This card says bluntly to the person you're reading for, you'll get what you want, what you deserve. Whether it's in divorces, legal matters, inheritance, on a daily basis. Reverse, there's no fairness. It's just real simple. There is no fairness concerning money for the quarant or the members of their family. It's, let's say, an expected inheritance that doesn't happen. And they say, well, where's mine? And they say, oh, it's all gone, or there really wasn't there. You know, and it also is an encouragement to clean up bad debts. Okay, the Seven of Pentacles. This is a harvest card. It shows a gentleman leaning on a rake or a hoe, and he's looking at what I thought at one time was a pumpkin patch, but it's a mound of green growth that has pentacles hanging all over it. And it's a harvest card. We've worked hard. You've got savings. You've got that 401K. You did get the inheritance, and you were wise with it. You've won a trip, cash, whatever. And now you get to appreciate. And this is a card to remind yourself, to reward yourself. Go ahead and take some time off. Do a short trip. Spend some time with family. Buy that new car if you need it. Reversed, there's not going to be the reward that the coin had worked for. Just think back to all the companies that have shut down, not to name any names, and took retirement funds with them. That's the kind of thing that this card represents in reverse, things that have been taken. This is Elaine Ireland, Going Global for Spirit, on bbsradio.com. Our direct call-in numbers for the U.S., 1-877-270-8714, Canada, 1-888-288-4494. The Eight of Pentacles is called a craft card. It shows a fella sitting on a bench facing a wall, and pentacles are hanging on the wall. Now remember, eights are infinity, and it's showing he's working on a pentacle. He's working on a method of bringing money in. So there's a creativity card. There's a creative energy. We don't always think of everything as being creative. You think about the word creative and you automatically go to an artist, a singer, somebody who has a talent that's unique. But we are all creative in how we approach our days. I don't care if it's getting a good dinner together. We're creative in some way. Sometimes we can make a career out of a hobby or an interest. That's another thing. When this card comes up, I always encourage people not to be a workaholic. Can you tell we're doing short meetings tonight? Reversed, what is this person not willing to do for the greater good of a given situation? Not willing to put in the time, not willing to put in the expertise. So this is somebody that I would be leery of getting involved with in a venture of some sort. The Nine of Pentacles, this is our Lady of Luxury card. She's a well-dressed woman. She's standing in a garden and has pentacles around her, six on one side of her and three on the other. She holds her hand up with a fowl of some sort on a closed, on a gloved hand. She's the bird on that on her finger represents controlled thoughts. She truly thinks that she has it together. However, she may be by herself in home and life. This card sometimes shows up for a divorcee, widow, widower, or someone who chooses to be alone for the time being. She feels comfortable in her space. She's competent. She's got the money. She can be very controlling, manipulative, even in an upright position. Especially where the money is concerned. She's definitely Lady Moneybags. Now, she can be the matriarch of the family, or she can be the bank president, someone who can be in control. And you have to be very cautious about doing business with her. You need to be up front right away in agreement about the management of money. Who's going to do that? If this card is in reverse, the woman will use her connections and money for positive means if she thinks that she's getting something in return. That's the clicker. An example would be donating great funds to charity as long as she knows her picture will be in the paper. Well, the money's still going to a good cause, right? So we let her have her moment of glory. She often says that her actions are misunderstood and that she's taken for granted. So when she's in reverse, just her influence can be helpful without her writing the check. You have to be very careful about asking for help unless you're sure of your standing with her. You know, she's your Aunt Jessie, that's great. You have to be careful in reverse that you're not losing everything you've worked for. It might be a good time to change managers of trust funds or to give over the control of your holdings to someone new. Not control, but at least advice. Ten of Pentacles, this is known as the Kabbalah. Now, for those of you out there that are not familiar with that word Kabbalah, it can be spelled many ways. Q-U-A-B-B-A-L-L-A, A-L-A, K-A-B-A-L-A, it goes on and on and on. Another word for it is a tree of life. I consider the Ten of Pentacles as being the business of family and family business. The business of family is making sure the kids get to the doctor. The family business is we own it, we get funds from it. It shows an elder, family, under an archway. When this card shows up with the Three of Pentacles, there's a chance that a physical business is in the making. Somebody's getting ready to go into partnership, let's say. So we'll look for the Justice card to tell us about contracts and other things that can make this happen. When the card is in reverse, the family's not supporting and typically very judgmental. There's not going to be the support needed. So you have to be very careful about intent. And older members of the family could need help that would put unexpected burden on younger members. Now that word burden is not meant to be disrespectful. It can be hard for a younger person to take care of their elders, but that's just a fact of life. Page of Pentacles. Pages are usually young children, sometimes pre-birth and to about the age of puberty. Pentacles are typically boys or girls that are athletic of nature. Their skin is dark, as can be their hair and eyes. Now, this is a person learning about money, but pages are also messengers, and they can be. It can be someone bringing simply a message. It could be someone in the office bringing you a message about money. The positive side of the messenger is that he says money's coming, and so is opportunity for stability. When it's in reverse, there's news of a loss of money and or material goods, theft, cheating, wastefulness. I've had this card come up a lot for gamblers who've not done too well in reverse. You have to be careful about getting involved with someone who is not expected, not experienced enough to carry out financial commitments. The Knight of Pentacles, again, dark hair, dark skinned. This is the young adult, up to their mid-20s, male or female. He's the one that sits still on a black horse. He's also called stagnation. In an upright position, this can also be an older person that has a younger type of personality. This person will be financially stable and will never, ever have to worry about lack. He knows that he will be secure all of his life. What a blessing that is. Certainly somebody who has faith in their ability for money. Maybe he's a trust fund baby. Maybe he has a talent that's going to carry him through his life. It doesn't matter. He's going to be able to be stable. Reversed, not trustworthy, tends to be lazy. So looking at your financial affairs, think in terms of stagnation. Is it time to breathe life in the way you handle your money? Maybe there's a better way to grow your money. Being careful of mixed messages from those that are giving you advice. Sometimes this card comes up for time to sell, whether it's stocks, properties, that sort of thing. I like the strength in the Knight of Pentacles. It carries good, strong messages. The Queen of Pentacles, she's known as the Queen of Fertility. Of course, so with that word fertility, the first thing you're going to think of is pregnancy. But there are other things to be pregnant, like new beginnings, new businesses. Now, it can mean, yes, children, but this is Elaine. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Elaine.
Elaine, this is California.
Hi, California. How are you?
Real good. Just want to thank you for that dual reading we had the other day.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Have you heard anything?
What's that?
Have you heard anything?
No, not as of yet.
Okay. Do you have any question for tonight?
Yeah, we might as well show people how good you do here. Well, it really was an incredible reading.
Thank you.
In regards to your subject tonight, faith and money, I want to see what the cards might have to say about what's important in those areas right now in the immediate.
That could be a long reading. In your immediate future, is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, like in the now.
In the now, okay.
In this first 2 weeks of October, what are we looking at?
Okay, I get the phone ringing 3 times. Now, I know you've got a really important information coming your way in November, but I'm getting the phone ringing 3 times within the next 5 days. And out of that will come information that will lead you down an alternative path to get some satisfaction towards your goal, which is good. You have a new person coming into the situation. Well, I say new. A reactivated person, I think, is a better way to say that, because you've heard their voice, you know their name. You may or may not have ever seen them face-to-face, but they're coming back into the picture, or maybe coming in a stronger position than they were before. So that's going to help the big picture on your one venture. On a personal level, I'm not worried about you. On a personal level, you're paying your bills and then some. So you're going to be okay.
Okay.
You had a busy 2 weeks. You said something about 2 weeks. I can just see you like you're on a bicycle, just the wheels just going really fast. You've got a lot to do for the next 2 weeks.
In regards to faith, I almost liken it to in the old days of renewing the mind. That opening of the heart to spirit and guidance, really building on that, you know, divine faith. Along this journey, what the question that's been coming to my mind a lot today is opening to those things that we know to be true and then living them.
You know, that's the catch right there. We can open ourselves up to it, but it's actually the letting go and walk in the path. That is so hard for 90% of the public. It's such a hard first step to do. We really do
have
to...
Well, understanding what that walk is, I think that's what most people are trying to understand.
Right.
But is it the, you know, watching your thoughts, your words, your actions, you start, it's almost to the point where you can become paranoid. So how would you describe that?
I don't understand your question. How would I describe it?
Well, yeah, that walking the path. It's one of those things that you hear a lot, and then you start thinking about it, and you start going, what is that?
That reminds me of people who are just, that question reminds me of people who are just starting out. They're growing their psychic work. They're growing their spiritual path, and it's all real scary because they don't know if this stuff is real or not. So there is fear automatically if you are turning away from, that's not the right word either. If you're venturing out on something new, it's the equivalent of being in a new city and not knowing where you're going. It's a little scary. You're walking down a sidewalk and you don't know what's there, and you have to have faith that there's going to be a sign on the corner to tell you, and confidence that the red and green light will tell you when to go. It's the same thing when you're walking a new walk of faith. And I'm not talking about new religion. I'm talking about faith in spirit and faith in yourself. You have to put one foot in front of the other one and trust your instincts and your knowledge of self to know that, and your growth at that point in time, to know that you're going to go forward with good in your heart. And then spirit will truly put light in your feet, and you will move forward exactly at the rate of speed that you need to learn your lessons. The right people will be put in front of you to help you learn. Even if they're just 2 steps ahead of you, sometimes that's better than having somebody who's walked the talk for 20 years. So sometimes you need to take baby steps when you're on this new spiritual path. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spiritual. To me, there's a real difference. So you have to have, there's that faith word again. You have to have faith that your feet are not going to sink in quicksand, or that you're going to get caught up with a controlling, and please don't be mad at me, public, a controlling guru. I have nothing against gurus. They're just not for everybody. And there's that faith. You have to have faith in self and your own judgment as much as you do in spirit. And if you will constantly say, "Spirit, watch my step," whoever your God source is, please help me make the right step, you will. You won't ever trip. You may slow down, but you won't ever trip. Does that help any at all?
Yeah, do you not find that, like me, I've always been on a spiritual path. It was more religious when I was younger. Last four years, more on the more open spiritual path that we're speaking of now. Do you find that people go through level? Because that's what I'm finding myself go through. Like, I already learned all this, and now we're going to learn it again. What's going on?
Well, it's not a matter of learning it again. It's almost a matter of I'm going to learn it besides, I'm going to redo it besides somebody who needs to learn from me. We don't ever have to go over and over and over and learn it again unless we've left out a key point, unless we've missed something. That's why circumstances will sometimes feel very familiar. Oops, been here, done that. Why am I here again? It's because we really didn't get something the first, second, or third time around. And we might have to be doing it so somebody else can watch us, see how we handle those situations, and learn from it without having to do it themselves. We tell our kids all the time, don't do as I do as I say. Well, it's because we know what to say. We've already done the doing. We don't want them to walk in our steps. Unfortunately, every human being and every animal has their own step to walk in and the same mistakes to make that we did. You can look at families and see that. You think they've learned from each other's mistakes or each other's experiences, not mistakes. I don't believe in that word mistake. Everything has a reason. So you're not doing it over and over and over again just for the heck of it. Spirit has a reason.
But that eerie feeling, that's common?
Like, yeah.
I already did the night?
Oh, yeah. Been here, done that. Why am I back again?
Yeah.
And that's okay. If you're back in the same situation for a second or third time, the first thing you should ask yourself is, what did I miss the first time around? What did I miss the second time around? And then look around you and see who you can share it with that's going through it for the first time to make their load a little lighter. And then you'll pick up everything you need to pick up and you're on your way. You're done. You're done. You're done. You don't have to do it again. So don't worry about your levels. We all work on different levels. And we all learn from each other, and we reach down and pull each other up. And sometimes somebody will pull us off of our level, and it's okay. We just have to help them get up. That's what groups are all about. Groups are all about the different levels that people are on. Whether it's a mastermind group or whether it's a therapy group of some sort or a book group, it doesn't matter. If you're exchanging in some way and you're sharing with your life, you shouldn't be all on the same level. That can get boring real quick. And when you're on a spiritual path, we're sincere about it, we tend to grow very quickly. We tend to encounter life's lessons that are some of the most difficult ones all at one time. So we can learn very quickly and move on and then turn around and help. Different levels. Don't be afraid of any of them. They're all worthwhile, no matter how difficult they may seem. Trust me. Been there, done that, sometimes four or five times. It's worth it. Are you there?
That I do.
They're going to make me get off pretty soon. How are you?
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's good. Just want to go in and thank you for the reading this week, and hopefully talk to you soon.
Well, please do. If I can help, let me know. I appreciate it. I hope you will help me keep. I hope you will let me know what's happening.
I definitely will.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a great week. Okay, you know, some of the questions I'm going to leave the folks with tonight is, do you trust your faith? Do you trust the word faith? And how do you apply your faith in yourself, in your spirit, in your guides, in your dreams? And what does money do for you? And how do you use money when you have it? Now, this is not a lecture on money. I want you to think about where you apply money. And do you tithe? If you don't, find a small portion of tithing time and or money. Where do you let faith sit in relationship to money? What does money do for you? What does money do to you? What does faith do for you and to you? They're going to make me get off in a minute. We're just getting started. We often look at money like we look at the Wheel of Fortune and luck. So I encourage you to think about what luck means to you and how it ties in. This is Elaine Ireland, Going Global for Spirit on bbsradio.com. If you weren't tempted to call in tonight, I hope you will next week. We'll be back at the same time, same place next week, ready to visit and share life with you. In the meantime, have a great week. Have fun. And don't forget to share a smile with someone. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Good night.